Every single day, I mean, literally millions of people intentionally put their own bodies into this like emergency starvation mode.
Oh, absolutely.
They just purposefully slow down their metabolisms and they trigger their brains to, hoard
Yeah.
energy. And they effectively just program themselves to gain weight. And the wildest part of all of this, they do all of it in the name of quote unquote dieting.
Yeah, it really is the great irony of the fitness industry. I mean, the very methods that people are sold to lose weight are, well, they're biologically engineered to prevent it.
It's wild. But anyway, welcome to the Pitcott Podcast. I'm your host, Annabelle, and I'm sitting here with our resident expert, Bill Pitcott.
Great to be here.
And today we are going on a massive deep dive to just cut straight through all that profitable confusion out there. We are unpacking the absolute foundational truths of sustainable weight loss, entirely sourced from Pitcott.
Yes, the actual biological blueprint.
Exactly. No detox teas, no 21-day miracle shreds, just honest science. And I am so excited because today's information comes directly from the best-selling ebooks on our ebook store. So you absolutely need to visit www.pitcott.com/books to download them.
They are fantastic resources.
They really are. And before we get into it, I need you to do something for me. Please subscribe to our channel if you haven't. Activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating. We appreciate you giving us a 5-star rating to propel this podcast to help others too.
Yeah, it really helps out. And, it's incredibly important we set this foundation today because while losing weight isn't some magical mystery, it is definitely not simple.
Right.
The human body is this highly complex survival machine. And the fitness industry, well, it actively thrives when you feel overwhelmed by that complexity.
So true. So let's just start with the absolute baseline then, the engine of weight loss. Because before we talk about meal timing or like superfoods or intermittent fasting, there is this unavoidable biological reality we just have to address first.
Yeah, the unavoidable law of thermodynamics. Calories in versus calories out. That is the engine. Everything else you hear about is just the detailing on the car. A calorie deficit simply means you are forcing your body to burn more energy than you are consuming.
Makes total sense.
But we really need to look at the math meticulously here because it actually dictates human behavior. So to lose roughly 1 pound of stored body fat, you need to create a cumulative deficit of about 3,500 calories.
Wait, hold on. 3,500 calories.
Yeah.
Let me just challenge that for a second, because that sounds mathematically impossible for a normal person to track perfectly. I mean, food labels are legally allowed to be inaccurate by what, up to 20%?
Up to 20%, yes.
So how are you supposed to accurately count every single calorie? Doesn't striving for that exact number just lead to like obsessive tracking and total burnout?
That is a fantastic pushback, and you're entirely right about those food labels. The 3,500 number, it isn't meant to be this exact daily obsession. It's more of an average to help you understand the scale of the whole process.
Okay.
What's fascinating here is how manageable that average becomes when you, well, when you stretch it out over 7 days.
Right, a whole week.
Exactly. A 3,500 calorie weekly deficit translates to just a 500 calorie gap per day.
Oh, wow. That's it.
That's it. It's not this dramatic overhaul. It's basically swapping a heavy cream latte for black coffee and, adding a brisk 20-minute walk.
That sounds so much more doable.
It is. But because of that whole all-or-nothing mentality people have, they think, well, if a 500-calorie deficit is good, a 1,500-calorie deficit must be amazing.
Right, the extreme approach.
Yeah, so they drop down to eating barely, like, 1,000 calories a day.
And that is exactly where the body hits the panic button. I always picture it like a bear preparing for winter.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
Right, like if you suddenly stop giving that bear food, its brain doesn't think, oh, great, time to lean out for beach season.
No, not at all.
It thinks, we're in a famine. I need to hoard every single ounce of fat to survive.
It is exactly a bear preparing for winter. And to push that analogy even further, extreme dieting isn't just withholding food from the bear, it's fundamentally changing how the bear's internal machinery operates.
What do you mean?
Well, physiologically, when you starve yourself, your body perceives a lethal threat. So what does it do? It aggressively slows down your basal metabolic rate.
So you just burn less by existing.
Precisely. You actually start subconsciously fidgeting less. Your core temperature might drop slightly. But most destructively, your body starts breaking down your lean muscle tissue for fuel.
Oh, because muscle burns too many calories just existing, right?
Exactly that. Muscle is metabolically expensive to maintain. So in a famine, having large muscles is actually a liability. Your body cannibalizes them to save energy.
That is so wild to think about.
And the cruelest part of this whole mechanism, the moment you inevitably break that extreme diet, because, you know, you're exhausted and starving.
Because everyone eventually breaks it.
Right. And then you eat normally again.
Mm-hmm.
But your body aggressively stores those new calories as fat. It is literally preparing for the next famine it assumes is right around the corner.
Wow.
That is a real biological trap of the yo-yo diet.
Okay, so if we can't just starve the fat away, what does the Pitcott blueprint actually prescribe here? How do we convince the body to let go of the fat without triggering that massive famine response?
The sweet spot is a moderate, very consistent deficit of 300 to 500 calories daily. But here's the critical mechanism that makes it work.
Right.
You absolutely must pair that moderate deficit with high protein intake.
Protein?
Yeah, protein is completely non-negotiable in this blueprint. You want to aim for roughly 0.7 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight.
I'm a little confused, though. Why protein specifically? Like, if it's just calories in versus calories out, why couldn't you just eat a 500-calorie deficit of only, I don't know, pasta and candy?
Well, you would technically lose weight doing that, but you would lose a massive amount of muscle, and honestly, you would be miserable.
Right, you'd be starving all the time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Physiologically, protein does three really unique things. First, it is highly satiating. It triggers the release of fullness hormones in your gut, which makes the calorie deficit mentally tolerable.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, it has really high thermic effect of food, or TF. Your body burns up to 30% of the calories in protein, just trying to break down its complex molecular bonds during digestion.
Wait, really? Just digesting it burns calories?
Yes. But most importantly, giving your body adequate protein provides the necessary amino acids to maintain your muscle tissue. It acts as a shield, basically forcing your body to burn its fat reserves for energy rather than cannibalizing your hard-earned muscle.
So just think about the reality of this for a second. Eating slightly less overall, but intentionally keeping your protein high enough that you actually feel full.
Yeah.
That sounds infinitely more doable to most people than just starving on some 5-day juice cleanse. It completely changes the dynamic from punishing your body to actually nourishing it.
Exactly. You are feeding the machine the raw materials it needs to thrive while just gently tapping into the stored reserves.
Okay, but if creating that deficit is just a math equation based on food, why do people spend thousands of dollars on these complex workout programs trying to burn it off? I mean, does the math change if you're doing a trendy 6-day split at the gym versus just, you know, going for a long walk?
This brings us to a truth so much. The fitness industry really works hard to obscure. Consistency beats perfection every single time.
Yes.
The absolute best workout program in the world is simply the one you will actually do. The research clearly shows that optimal 6-day splits are completely useless if you hate them and quit after 3 weeks.
I am so glad you said that, because the pressure to become a total gym rat just to lose 10 pounds is incredibly alienating for so many people.
It really is. Now, if we want to tailor the burn effectively, the science does point to an ideal weekly breakdown.
Okay, what's the breakdown?
3 to 4 strength training sessions are ideal, because building muscle permanently increases your resting metabolic rate. You essentially become a larger furnace, burning more fuel around the clock.
Even when you're just sitting there.
Exactly. Then you layer in 2 to 3 cardiovascular sessions for heart health. But the real secret weapon, it's non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or NEAT.
NEAT.
Yeah. Just getting 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day, just moving your body throughout the day.
I love that the Pitcott guide emphasizes finding actual joy in this movement too. Like, if you despise running on a treadmill, do not run.
Right, please don't run.
Go swim, ride a bike, take a dance class, hike a trail, just do something you like.
If we connect this to the bigger picture though, we have to talk about the kitchen. Because as much as movement matters for your overall health, diet is roughly 80% of the weight loss equation.
80%. Wow.
You absolutely cannot outrun a bad diet.
I always picture someone trying to outrun a bad diet as Like someone sitting in a leaky boat just furiously trying to bail out the water with a tiny little teaspoon.
That's exactly what it is.
You can paddle as hard as you want, but if there's a gaping hole in the bottom of the boat, which is your diet, you are going to sink.
It is a leaky boat. Yeah. And to push your analogy further, attempting a massive restrictive dietary overhaul is like drilling a second hole in the boat to let the water out.
Oh my gosh.
It makes no logical sense. When you attempt to cut out all sugar, all carbs, and all dairy simultaneously, you require an immense amount of cognitive load and willpower. And willpower is a finite, easily exhaustible resource.
So we need automated habits then, small upgrades instead of overhauls.
Precisely. Small upgrades, like swapping a sugary soda for sparkling water or adding a handful of spinach to your eggs. They don't trigger that massive psychological resistance.
Right, they're easy.
They automate. An automated habit performed consistently for a year will yield infinitely better biological results than some miserable extreme diet you abandon after 14 days.
Okay, but what happens when the math breaks? Because I know people, and you probably know people, who do exactly what we just described.
Sure.
They eat in that 500-calorie deficit, they hit their 10,000 steps, they eat their protein, and the scale absolutely refuses to budge.
It happens a lot.
We are going to dive into the invisible saboteurs that cause this in just a second. But first, a quick reminder that all of this incredible science-backed information comes directly from our very own resources. You need to visit www.pitcot.com, subscribe to our channel if you haven't, and activate the notification bell so you don't miss our new uploads. Also, press the like button and rate us if you love our show. It helps in the recommendation algorithm so others can access it too. And don't forget to click on the stars below to give us a rating.
All right, let's look at that frustrating scenario you mentioned. Someone is doing everything right physically, but the scale is completely frozen.
Yeah, why does that happen?
This is where the Pitcot blueprint pivots to the silent physiological saboteurs: sleep and stress.
This is the part that completely blows my mind. Because we tend to treat sleep like it's a luxury, not an actual biological necessity for fat loss.
It's crazy how overlooked it is.
Oh.
What's fascinating here is that sleep is not just a passive state of unconsciousness. It is a highly active metabolic tool.
Yep.
It is when your body regulates its endocrine system and actually resets your hunger signals. When you chronically sleep fewer than 7 hours a night, you throw your hormones into absolute chaos, specifically ghrelin and leptin.
The hormone dance. Okay, break down how those actually hijack our behavior.
So ghrelin is produced in your stomach. It is your hunger hormone. It signals your brain's hypothalamus that you need food.
Got it.
Leptin is produced by your fat cells. Mm-hmm. It is your satiety hormone, basically telling your brain, hey, we have enough energy, stop eating.
Right.
When you are sleep deprived, ghrelin spikes dramatically and leptin plummets.
So your body is screaming for food, and the breaks that normally tell you to stop are just completely cut.
Exactly. It is a chemical drive to overeat. Functional MRI scans actually show that when you're sleep deprived, the reward centers of your brain light up significantly more in response to high-calorie sugary foods.
Oh.
A donut literally looks twice as appealing to a tired brain. Studies show sleep-deprived individuals consume an average of 300 to 500 extra calories per day without even realizing it.
You know, that is incredibly liberating data, because when people fail on a diet, especially when they're exhausted, they just beat themselves up.
They really do.
They look in the mirror and think, I'm weak, I have no discipline, but it's not always a failure of willpower. It's literally their brain chemistry hijacking the steering wheel because they didn't sleep.
Yes. Your brain perceives the lack of sleep as an emergency, and it wants immediate, dense energy to survive it. Furthermore, sleep deprivation raises cortisol, your primary stress hormone.
Right, cortisol.
And if you look at the evolutionary biology of cortisol, its entire purpose during a stressful event is to dump glucose into your bloodstream so you can physically run from a predator.
But today, you know, the predator isn't a tiger chasing you. The predator is a passive-aggressive email from your boss.
Precisely. You get stressed, cortisol floods your system with energy, but you're just sitting at a desk. You don't burn that energy off.
So where does it go?
Your body releases insulin to shuttle that excess glucose away, and it stores it specifically as visceral fat around your abdomen.
Oh.
Visceral fat has high blood flow and lots of cortisol receptors. Your body parks the fat right next to your vital organs so it's ready for the next tiger attack. You can eat perfectly and train like an Olympian, but if your cortisol is chronically elevated from poor sleep and high stress, your body will simply refuse to let go of that belly fat.
Because the body's priority is survival, not looking good in a swimsuit.
Exactly.
So the baseline target is 7 to 9 hours of sleep for most adults. And the fixes are pretty foundational, right? Like setting a consistent bedtime to anchor your circadian rhythm.
Yes.
And sleeping in a dark, cool room, because your core body temperature actually needs to drop to initiate deep sleep. Plus, turning off screens an hour before bed because blue light suppresses melatonin production.
Oh, and cutting caffeine after 2 p.m.
All of those are essential. And managing your waking stress, too. We tend to view stress management as this soft, abstract thing. You know, just take a deep breath.
Yeah, people brush it off. But breath work, meditation, or walking in nature, they aren't luxuries. They are hardcore biological interventions. They literally activate your parasympathetic nervous system, lowering cortisol, and actively signaling to your body that it is safe to unlock those fat stores.
I really love that framing, signaling to your body that it is safe. Okay, so let's say we fix the sleep, we manage the stress, and the deficit is dialed in. The scale starts moving down, but then it just stops. The dreaded plateau.
Ah, yes, the plateau.
This is where expectations absolutely crush people.
This raises a really important question about timelines. Because the reality that the fitness industry completely avoids is that sustainable fat loss takes time. The scientific consensus is losing 0.5 to 1% of your body weight per week.
Okay.
For the average person, that is about 0.5 to 1 pound a week.
Which sounds agonizingly slow to someone who has been conditioned by, you know, magazines promising to drop 10 pounds in 10 days.
It does sound slow, but the thing is, it is permanent. As we discussed with the starvation response earlier, the people who lose 20 pounds in a single month almost universally gain it back with interest.
Right.
Their metabolism tanks, they lose precious muscle, and they rebound. Slow and steady is not some consolation prize. It is the physiological requirement for permanence.
And building that permanence means tracking your progress properly. Because the scale is a ridiculously blunt instrument. It literally just measures total gravitational pull.
That's a great way to put it.
It cannot tell the difference between fat, muscle, or like a liter of water you drank 5 minutes ago.
That's beautifully put. And this is exactly where understanding the mechanics of water weight is crucial. For example, carbohydrates are stored in your muscles as glycogen.
Right.
For every 1 gram of glycogen stored, your body stores roughly 3 grams of water with it.
Oh, wow. A 1-to-3 ratio.
Yeah. So if you eat a heavier, carb-dense meal on a Friday, the scale might jump 3 pounds by Saturday morning. You didn't gain 3 pounds of fat overnight. That violates the laws of thermodynamics.
You'd have to eat so many calories to do that.
Exactly. You gain 3 pounds of water bound to glycogen in your muscle tissue.
Which is exactly why you have to track progress in multiple ways. You measure your waist circumference, you notice how your clothes fit across your shoulders, you track your daily energy levels, your sleep quality, and your gym strength.
Definitely.
If you are lifting heavier weights and your jeans feel looser, but the scale hasn't moved, you are succeeding.
Absolutely. And when you hit a true plateau, meaning your measurements in the scale haven't changed in weeks, you have to understand what is actually happening biologically. A plateau is completely normal.
It doesn't mean you're broken.
No, it is not a sign of failure. It is simply a sign of metabolic adaptation. Your body has adapted to the current calorie deficit and exercise routine. It has basically become more efficient.
So it's basically your body saying, okay, I solved this puzzle, give me a new one.
Precisely. The stimulus simply needs to change. As you lose mass, your body requires fewer calories to exist, so you might need to adjust your intake slightly.
Makes sense.
Or you might need to change your workout variables, lift heavier, change the rep ranges, increase your daily steps, your NEAT. Plateaus always pass if you systematically adjust the stimulus. The only true failure during a plateau is giving up.
And surviving those plateaus, not just throwing in the towel when the math gets hard, that requires a fundamental shift in mindset. This is where the Pitcott blueprint gets incredibly profound for me. It's really about transitioning your entire motivation from punishment to identity.
This is perhaps the most crucial piece of the entire deep dive, and unfortunately the one most frequently ignored. How you view yourself shapes your physiological outcomes.
Right.
Yeah. Weight loss that is driven by self-punishment, the mindset of, I hate how I look, I need to suffer to fix this, it is incredibly fragile. The moment your life gets stressful, the moment you have a really bad day at work, that fragile motivation just shatters.
Because you cannot hate yourself into a version of yourself that you actually love.
Exactly. Weight loss, driven by genuine care and respect for your biological machinery, has real staying power. You stop chasing a completely arbitrary gravitational number on a scale as if it defines your worth as a human being. Instead, you focus on building a stronger, more resilient system.
But let me play devil's advocate for a second. What about the morning you wake up, and despite doing everything right, you are up 2 pounds of water weight?
It happens.
How do you mentally survive that when the outcome is just staring you in the face and making you miserable?
By entirely shifting how we set our goals. You must set process goals instead of outcome goals.
Process goals.
Right. An outcome goal is, I want to lose 30 pounds. You do not have direct control over when or how exactly the scale moves on any given Tuesday due to water, inflammation, or hormones.
True.
A process goal is, I will strength train 3 times this week, I will hit my protein target today, and I will sleep 8 hours. Process goals are 100% within your daily control.
And when you hit those process goals, you build genuine confidence. Having an off day, like eating the pizza or missing a workout because you were exhausted, it isn't a catastrophic failure anymore.
No, it's just a single data point.
Right. It is so incredibly empowering to realize that the version of you who makes healthy choices by default is already inside you. You just have to build that identity one habit at a time.
It's completely transformative. It shifts healthy living from being this massive, exhausting act of daily willpower to simply being an expression of who you are. You don't eat well because you have to. You eat well because you are the kind of person who fuels their body properly.
This has been absolutely incredible. To just quickly recap the sustainable Pitcop blueprint for you, we are building a manageable 300 to 500 calorie deficit. We are fueling that biological engine with high protein to protect our muscle.
Yes.
We are prioritizing NEAT and engaging in movement that we actually enjoy. We are fiercely guarding our 7 to 9 hours of sleep to keep ghrelin and leptin in check. We are actively managing our stress so cortisol doesn't trap our visceral fat.
Spot on.
And above all, we are committing to slow, steady, identity-based persistence over extreme intensity. Skip the 14-day shreds. Skip the detoxes. They don't work, but this does.
And if we connect everything we've unpacked today to the bigger picture, it really leaves you with an important question to consider. You now know that true transformation is about identity and that your biology responds to feelings of safety. So when you look at your life right now, what is the very first invisible stressor or sleep habit you can change tonight to start signaling to your body that it's safe to let the weight go?